Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. And yes, you join us once again for a top five bets video. We did one for Cheltenham, we did one for Royal Ascot, and we're back for Goodwood and Galway. My name's Sam Hart, taking you through our top five bets for the big two meetings this week, alongside an excellent panel. Robbie Wilders from the Racing Post, David Jennings joining us over in Ireland, and we have Unibet's Ed Nicholson, as always. Ed, come to you first. What a fantastic week we've got in store. Two big festivals, but Goodwood is our big festival, our side of the shore.
Yeah, both brilliant festivals. Plenty of runners, plenty of horses that we all know from the whole of the season, both in Ireland and in England. So a festival I really look forward to. We sponsored it as Unibet for 4 years. And I must say, it was the best fun I've ever had in racing, the 4 years down there every week in end of July, August. But there's also some top-class racing, and it does sort some of the contenders for the championship races. I mean, the miles division, that Sussex Stakes, is going to be a tremendous race, as it is every year. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. Plenty of offers. Been talking to the traders this morning. My phone's almost run out of battery. There's so many different specials that they've been sending across. So, really looking forward to talking about those as well.
Yeah, there's been plenty of big field handicaps across Goodwood and Galway. So do look out, especially for those extra places on Unibet's website. David Jennings, he's just returned from holiday, but he's got a hell of a week coming up. 7 days of action at Galway, an absolute party there, I hear, DJ, every year. Looking forward to it.
Well, you say I've returned from holiday. I wouldn't exactly call it a holiday. We went to this kind of, you know, hotel that caters for kids and kids clubs and that, and I'm actually back to work for a holiday because I'm bloody knackered. Swimming every morning at 7 o'clock. I was on slides and go-karting by 8 o'clock. It was just, they had a great time. It was good old fun. Absolute glorious sunshine 1 minute, lashing rain the next minute. A good old-fashioned Irish holiday. But looking forward to Galway. Funny, different to Goodwood. Yous obviously have the... you have the quality over there with Goodwood, and the Sussex is just going to be class. You've got Kyprios, and the Nassau is for me possibly the race of the week. We have the crack more so than the quality, but the Galway hurdle on Thursday is always a cracking affair, and can throw up a grade one winner, as we've seen with Charge in the past, and we've got the Galway plate on Wednesday as well. So plenty to look forward to. I think we'll give you the quality, but we'll keep the crack.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard there's two different styles of festival, Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival, in terms of attending. So I will one day get myself over to Galway and experience a couple of days there. And Robbie Wilders, as you join us, this is your third episode. You've been on all the top five bets videos, and hopefully we can find plenty of winners.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, a lot of near misses at Royal Ascot, so looking to atone for that. Quite nice to be back watching Goodwood, because I missed all of last year because I was on a cruise for 2 weeks.
God, poor Robbie.
Yeah, sometimes you don't look at the calendar and you book a holiday and then you realise that's actually quite a big meeting. So I missed it all. So it feels like an awful long time since my last Goodwood and Galway week. So, yeah, excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the weather for the whole week here at Goodwood is going to be absolutely sensational at this moment in time. And I think we're going to get really genuinely good ground on the opening day, which is going to be absolutely perfect. So we're going to get into our top five bets for the two big festivals shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson now giving you our top five bets for the festivals. And we start off with bet number five. We're going to run 5-1, giving our best bet right at the end of the show. And I'll tell you what, David Jennings, you're going to kick things off with your number five.
Oh, thanks for that, Sam. So I'm going to Goodwood, the 4:45 at Goodwood on Tuesday, and I'm going to keep the fate with Carrados for Archie Watson and James Doyle. Look, I Maximus was all the talk prior to his debut for Richard Hughes at Newbury, was sent off 5-4 favourite, and I Maximus, could be a very good horse. When you see a horse like that that's sent off so short and was a big eye catcher. You know, he could be a very decent horse. But I just think with Carrados, he's very much a work in progress. He sent off favour for his debut at Leicester and just got hampered coming out of the stalls. Nothing went right that day. But it was the run last time at Goodwood that really caught my eye. Like, Principality won the race. He came over to Ireland for the Phoenix Stakes and is obviously held in high regard by the Hannons. The third that day is Billboard Star. Billboard Star finished second in the July Stakes at Newmarket behind Whistle Jacket, who's one of the best two-year-olds we've seen this season. And Carrados showed really good speed to maybe 200 yards from the line, and then just the stamina just gave out a little bit in the closing stages because he did so much in the early part of the race. But I just think if he reproduces that effort and the speed he showed to the furlong pole, he's going to have a lot of these in trouble, and I Maximus is going to have to be as good as they think he is to beat him. I think he's going to get first-run Carrados, and I still think he's a decent horse. So I'm with Carrados in that 4:45 at Goodwood on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Carrados then for the Whatnam Racing Colours, a big week for them at Goodwood. The Qatar Goodwood Festival. They'll have.
I should also add that he's been gelded as well, which I think is a big help because he doesn't look straightforward. I think some of these horses, when they get gelded, it could bring out big improvements. So Carrados for me.
Absolutely, yeah. 4:45 on Tuesday there for DJ. Then the maiden stakes there. Carrados is bet number 5. Ed Nixon, to you then. Who comes in at number 5?
Yeah, really looking forward to the week. Kicking off for a bet on Friday. Most of my bets are later on in the week. Be interesting what the ground's like by then, but we've got plenty of sunshine expected. So I'm expecting fast ground, and I need that for number 5 because I'm going for Jasaw in the King George Qatar Stakes. Being supplemented wasn't the plan. The plan was always to run the Commonwealth Cup and then the July Cup from Clive Cox. But I think this is the race made for him. Now, you know, viewers will know Jasaw is a speedy horse, but he's being held up. He's not being allowed to kind of burn up the gallops because they're always a little bit worried he doesn't get home. And they, more importantly, he pulls. So they want to try to settle him. Now, this Goodwood 5 seems to be an absolute perfect idea for Jasaw. If he was mine, I'll just put him out the front and bowl along. The last 20 renewals of this race have all been running under 59 seconds. But Tash obviously got the record of 55 and change. Mm-hmm. So it suits the speed horses. Jasaw has only run a couple of times over 5, incredibly. And way back in his two-year-old days, he didn't need to be that good. But he made all over 5 at Nottingham. And I watched the video a few times. And he just settles much better from front. I think 8-1 is a massive price. If the ground is good, if he's allowed to bowl out in front. His form isn't that bad as it is. He is only a few pounds below the top horse in the race anyway. And I think just the confirmation of the track, Jim Crowley, no one's won this race more times than Jim Crowley, thanks to Batash. But he's used to riding these ultra speedy individuals in these races. And I just thought 8-1 was a massive price. So yeah, my number 5 bet is Jasaw.
Yeah, Jasaw supplemented for the race, 3:35 on Friday, King George Qatar Stakes, around 8-1 currently. I'm gonna jump in now. I'm gonna go to Wednesday, the 5:20, which is the Whirlpool Handicap, and a horse that I've always loved, but a horse who does run well here at Goodwood, that is Darkness. Like, he's a really difficult horse to get right, is Darkness, but he seems to run his best races at courses like Goodwood. He actually runs well at the Newmarket July course as well. He won at the July course before running 5th in the Bunbury Cup only a couple of weeks back. Now, his form figures at Goodwood read 2-4-3. He runs a lot of big races from the front, which can be pretty ideal at Goodwood. We see that a lot with the Johnson runners who are in for a big week there. But he was 4th in the Golden Mile last year off a mark of 94. And I usually hate saying this, but if you stop the race at the furlong pole, he was in contention batting away with the eventual winner. Now, he's rated 91 now. He's dropped back. I thought he'd go for the Golden Mile once again, but they've opted out of that, it looks like. Danny Tuddock's jocked up for this race, and they're going back to 7 furlongs where he's run some massive, massive races. He's probably going to go from the front. He's probably going to take some stopping. This seems an ideal race, and I think Darkness will win the 5:20 on Wednesday. Robbie Wilders, you're going to finish us off with number 5.
Yeah, good luck to you. Keep it simple. Going to go for Jan Breguel in the Glorious Stakes, 3 o'clock on Thursday. I look at this race. I don't see too much depth to it. I know you've got horses like Bellum Justum and Sayadati Sadati that ran pretty well in the Derby. But, I don't think they're sort of Group 1 horses, whereas Jan Breguel looks like he's right on the way to that sort of level. He's going to be much better again for a 1-mile 4. He's unbeaten in 2 starts over a mile 2 this season, both running good times. I think he's still quite green. He's just going to keep progressing. They're talking about him as a St. Ledger horse, and I think this is looks the perfect way to tee up for that.
He looks like an absolute monster, Jan Brugel. He's going to be a fairly short price, but I think he will take some stopping in that Gordon Stakes. Right, on to bet number four then, gents. And Ed, you can go with number four and lead in here.
Well, it's a horse that's done well for me this year on the podcast. I'm going to keep the faith with Blue For You in the Golden Mile on Friday. He's a horse that actually comes to life at this time of year and runs really well in this race as well. On the back of always running in that John Smith's handicap at York, which he won again this year. He's done it 3 years on the run now. He's running that race and then run here. He has come placed in this race in the past, second, I think, a couple of years ago, having run in that race. His handicap mark looks fair. He's only running on 98. I think the official handicap mark is now 99. He just gets a £3 penalty for winning at York. So we know he likes the track. He runs well at Goodwood. He's in top form. And I do love backing David O'Meara horses in the big handicaps. I mean, this particular race, he's won it two times in the last, is it 4 years? He's won it with Prompting, which is when we sponsored it. And I always remember Prompting just running loose, and he's won it with Orban as well, I think, if memory serves me. But he's a trainer that I love in these big handicaps. He's got this horse in form. You look at his form figures, I think it's three or four duckheads before winning at York. And he won that race really well, having won the race even better, it must be said, the year before. But he ran off 102 mark last year and came 10th. But he has run well in this race before off this sort of mark. I think he's got a great chance. The draw is important. So we're doing this without knowing the draw. Last year, though, draw horse number 18 won in a 20-runner race. But before that, you're drawn 2, 5, 2 and 3. And David O'Meara's two horses won it from stall 2. So hopefully this horse, Blue For You, can get stall 2 again, because you probably do need to be drawn low when there's lots of runners. So I'm taking a bit of a gamble. But yeah, Blue For You, I think, is in form. The stable know how to get a horse ready for this race, and he's done it before. So odds are around about 8-1, Blue For You to win the Golden Mile on Friday.
Yeah, Blue For You for Ed Nicholson. Then O'Meara's sure to have plenty of runners in that Golden Mile, as he always does in the big handicaps at big meetings. Robbie Wilders, to you for number four.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go to Saturday, the 3 o'clock at Goodwood, the Lily Langtry Stakes, Free Wind. I know she was disappointing this race last year, but I mean, the ground was just horrendous on the last couple of days of that meeting, wasn't it? Everything that was sort of making all by wide margins. She doesn't want heavy ground. She's not going to get that here. But I think the key to Free Wind is being fresh. She's got an absolutely unblemished record off the breaks. We've not seen her since she was second to Blue Stocking in the Middleton Stakes at York. But, I mean, at the time, that looked a disappointing effort. She was a beaten favourite. But, I mean, obviously, Blue Stocking's come out and won the Pretty Polly and ran really well in the King George on Saturday. Yeah. Even Carnarvon, that was well beaten in fifth, has come out and won a decent mile race at Pontefract. I think she's probably a different class to these. They've kept her in training at six to try and win a Group 1. I think she can probably tee herself up for something like the Prevenmire here. I like the fact that she's fresh here, and I would have thought she's going to get a ground. So, yeah, Free Win number four.
Yeah, on that Saturday at Goodwood last year when she ran, it was an absolute bog. It wasn't heavy. It was like a swimming pool. It was actually abandoned after the Stewards' Cup. I've never seen Goodwood so wet. David Jennings, you're going for number four.
Yeah, my numero cat is today. It's today. It's it's a 7:45. So I'm hoping we'll kick us off with a winner. It is Naturally Nimble in the 7:45 at Galway, the Gras Chocolates handicap. A frustrating horse already. It's hard to believe you can call a horse frustrating given that he's only had 5 starts, but he has wrecked my head, this horse. When he made his debut at Galway last September, he finished second to Grosvenor Square. Grosvenor Square, of course, the horse who almost beat Vauban and Terror of London in the Curragh Cup last time. And that was an extremely eye-catching effort that day from Naturally Nimble. Since that, he's been beaten at 7-4, 15-8, 6-4, and 6-5. So he's been a beaten favourite 4 times. So it's interesting to see what the market does here. But he just simply has to be well handicapped. There's no ifs or buts about it. He has to be well handicapped because all of his form kind of ties in with decent horses. Like even when he was beaten ahead by Lady Doris at Navan, that Lady Doris went on to win the Ulster Oaks, and she's just a real tough, hardy filly that knows how to win. And that day, I think Dylan Bremmick-Manningville thought he had Lady Doris covered the whole way up the straight at Navan, and then he kind of got caught because she never went away. They had Royal Ascot aspirations for this horse, and then when he was beaten at Navan, I think it was a case of, God, we're not going to actually get into a race at Royal Ascot, so let's keep maybe this horse for Galway, where the Mulrines like to have winners, and the Mulrines have had some fantastic horses over the years, but they do like their big days at Galway. I think he's well handicapped off a mark of 82, drawn in stall 8, which means he shouldn't get into too much trouble. I think he's well handicapped, and I think he'll win. So naturally nimble in the 7:45 at Galway on Monday.
There we go. Trying to kick us off with a winner on Monday night is David Jennings. Yes,
take the 11-2 or 6-1, because I think he could go off a bit shorter.
Okay, there we go. I'm going to go with my number four. I'm actually going to take head on in the King George Qatar Stakes on Friday at 3:35. And it is a little bit of a boring selection, I suppose, but I think Asfura is going to probably go and win this. I was so against this horse at Royal Ascot, and maybe I shouldn't have been. I was quite dismissive of the quotes when people said she's probably not even, you know, in the top 10 best sprinters in Australia. But I think that probably just shows the level of the sprinters in our country, to be totally honest. She's a complete and utter speedball, and she's had a couple of runs over in the UK now. And if there was a track that was made for her, it seems like Goodwood's Downhill 5 is just going to be absolutely ideal. Now, I was speaking to a few friends that I've got out in Australia, and they've been saying that if there was a race she's going to win, it's going to be this. This is going to be absolutely ideal. And she's going to want quick going. She proved that she didn't like the softer ground conditions earlier on in the season. But the way she won that King Charles the First Stakes was absolutely sensational. She looked an absolute monster. And I just think she could play catch me she'll play catch me if you can, if she wants to. She'll just go from the front and they'll try and stop her. I do think that Jasaur is the danger being supplemented. There's no doubt about it. And then you look at the rest of the horse in the field, like Big Evs. Now, I know he won the Malcolm as a two-year-old and has that course form, but he was behind her at Ascot. And I just think this course will suit us for her just as much as it would Big Evs. I'm pretty sure, based on everything that's happened with this horse and all the plans of keeping this horse in the UK, this would have been one of the main targets. And I think the Australian sprinter could light up the turf at Goodwood. Ed, you're going to come back to me, are you?
No, I just love it if S4 goes off 100 miles an hour, because that means Jasaur will settle even
potentially. But I don't know whether you'll catch this Australian sprinter. We'll wait and see. We'll take each other on, though, Ed, and the King George Qatar Stakes on Friday. We'll look to see who comes out on top in that one there. To bet number three now, I might kick things off here because I think this is going to be a lovable horse and a popular horse on the opening day on Tuesday. It's not going to be Kypros. It's in the Lennox Stakes at 3:00, and it's going to be Kinross. He's, like I say, he's going to have some support. He's been first, second, first in the last 3 years in this race, and 7 furlongs, as we know, is just his bag. I don't think ground is as much of a factor with this horse as everyone actually thinks. He won the City of York Stakes on good to firm ground last year, beating some top class 7 furlong performers. So I think the ground on the open day will actually probably just be good. I think Ed Arkle will have the course looking absolutely perfect because it was soft going or close to soft going on Wednesday. We've had a bit of rain on Thursday and it's just been dry ever since. So I wouldn't worry too much about the ground. Kinross will have Ross Orion on board for the first time. Ignore that July Cup run. I just think this horse is now kind of a 7 furlong horse to a mile. I don't think he has the speed for 6 anymore. And that City of York and the Foray are going to be right up his bag towards the back end of this season. Maybe even going to the Breeders' Cup once again for the mile there. English Oaks form, I was speaking to Robbie the other day in the office, actually hasn't really been boosted at the weekend. I'm not sure English Oak is as strong as everyone was hoping. I actually think Noble Dynasty should be a little bit shorter than Godolphin Horse because Noble Dynasty had English Oak well beaten at Newmarket, giving so much weight away. So the danger is going to be the Godolphin Horse, Noble Dynasty. But Kinross, without the penalty, I'd be shocked if they don't have this horse bang here. Again, this is another one where they're just going to have this race as a target from the start of the season. So, yeah, Kinross around 3-1 in the Lennox Stakes at 3:00 on Tuesday. Robbie Wilders to number three.
Yeah, we're in disagreement here. I mean, obviously, you can't disrespect Kinross because he's done so much. But I thought Tiber Flow was a little bit big in the Lennox Stakes, so I was going to go with him for number three.
I agree.
He's got, pleased to hear it, DJ, he's got a bit of class about him. I don't think we've quite seen him at his best yet. I mean, the way he won the John of Gaunt last time was quite impressive, I thought. There was an awful lot of money for him in the prior, in the Clipper Stakes, that good sprint won by Millstream at the start of the season, but he sadly slipped up on the turf. But he bounced right back from that. He's come off another little break again. I think there's plenty more to come over 7. And I think he'll very much be in the 3, certainly. I'd certainly prefer him to English Oak. And I'm always conscious of horses that sort of get to about 7 years of age, because how long can they keep to this such a high level? Whereas I think Tiberflow is one that is definitely improving. Can we say the same about Kypreos? I'm not so sure. And I don't think he's got loads to find ready to win this. So, yeah, Tiberflow for me.
Yeah, Tiberflow almost, mate. If we were doing the top six, Tiberflow would have been in it. Tiberflow, to me, has been running over six most of his life. But every single time, when he was a young horse over six, you're going, this horse needs to, even when he was winning, like I remember him winning one day at Newcastle where he needed every yard of the six. He is a proper seven furlong specialist who's been running over six. Like, he needs every yard of the seven to win us at Haydock, I thought. I think he's really unexposed over seven. Yeah. I thought 7-1 was a massive price.
Huge, isn't it? Yeah, huge.
Well, taking on the Racing Post experts, then am I? And yeah, we'll see how that goes with those two on Tiberflow and me against them with Kinross. DJ, I'll come back to you. You've just jumped in there, but you can go on with your number three now.
My number three is, it's a funny one. I'm going to the 150 at Goodwood on Thursday. Would you believe my top three are all on Thursday? So Thursday is going to be a big day for me. We're going to the opening race at Goodwood, the 150, the Carl Kinzem handicap. And the one that I like here is Palace Green for Richard Hughes and Oisin Murphy. He's a horse to me that looks like he should be way better than his mark. He's running off a mark of 90 here. He ran at Ascot in the Golden Gate Stakes, race the Hand of God, absolutely bolted up in. But it was just a tale of woe for Oisin Murphy. He kind of tried to go down the inner and then just got a little bit tight and then went for another gap and then got cut off again. So basically, was beaten 10 lengths, but never got any run whatsoever up the home straight. And the race itself didn't really pan out the way I was hoping for him. Like when you go through his form, like when he ran at York the time before, he was so eye-catching behind London City and Align the Stars. And Align the Stars has already franked the form since. That looked a decent race, that handicap at the York Dante meeting. And Palace Green was a real eye-catcher. He looked all over the winner, I thought, two furlongs out that day. And it was just a case of not staying. That was over a mile and a half. He blatantly didn't stay. That's why I was so keen on him in the Golden Gates. And we didn't get a chance to see what he was made of there. I think he's still well handicapped. I think Goodwood is really going to suit him. Oisin Murphy's already jocked up. Now, I know, I think part of the ownership, I think, is Qatar. So that's why Oisin Murphy rides him. But, yeah, he's a well handicapped horse. Glorious beast of a horse. I've seen him in the parade ring at Royal Ascot. He's a real poke-your-eye-out type of merchant. So, yeah, Palace Green in the 150 at Goodwood on Thursday. Looking, I think he's around about 9-1.
Yeah, you get close to double figures about Palace Green, that 150 on the Thursday at Goodwood. And I do say Qatar involved with this horse, Murphy taking the ride, and Richard Hughes, a man who used to ride plenty of winners at Goodwood's, looking to train a winner on Thursday. Ed Nixon, you're to finish off with number three.
Yeah, Thursday for me as well for number three. It's a 3:35, the Group 1 Nassau Stakes. Big fan of Emily Upjohn. I think she's probably the best filly mare in the race. 5 years old now, but still showed that she's got it. In fact, she hasn't won for quite a while, which is surprising when you look at the quality of the filly. But she's been running in some top races. I say her first race this season, she probably needed it, only having run once for a long time before that. And then last time out at the Curragh in the Prilly Polly Stakes, ran really well over this distance, 10 furlongs, when Blue Stocking just wore her down. I think she probably idled. A few people was talking about Kieran Schumacher's ride. I thought he gave a perfectly okay ride. Had to go when he had to go because she was going so well and she just idled. And even if you look at that, the form's taken a huge boost with what Blue Stocking did in the King George as well. So, you know, I think Emily Upjohn's got the form over 12 furlongs and 10 furlongs. If you go back to the Eclipse last year, she only got beaten half a length by Paddington. And that was in the golden period of Paddington's four Group 1 victories. And that was the closest any horse got to Paddington during those four Group 1 victories. So even John Gosden said she's probably better over 12 furlongs and 10 furlongs, but she's pretty good over 10 furlongs. And I think this race has got Emily Upjohn written all over her. I can't believe she's not favourite. I know Aidan O'Brien's horse is favourite at the moment, but Emily Upjohn for me. I think she will go off nearly favourite for this race.
Yeah, well, her being supplemented for this race just makes it a more fascinating renewal. It definitely makes the race an exciting race. And I know Robbie Wilders has got a selection for number two in this race at a big price.
I do, mate. Yeah, I get what you're saying about Emily Upjohn here. She's got an awful lot of class about her. I'm always on the lookout for horses at big prices that I think are getting better and better. And I think certainly, I think Amalka's just been forgotten about here at sort of 14-1 everywhere. I think that's too big. I mean, she's obviously won the 1,000 guineas, beating Port Fortuna, who's now by anyone's definition probably the best 3-year-old filly in training as we speak. It's the key to her. I think what she proved at Ascot and the coronation was that she needs another couple of furlongs. I think she's ready for middle distances now. She's done all her running over 7 furlongs and a mile. I mean, she's come quite a long way very quickly, really. I mean, it was only a second start that she won the classic trial at Newbury, and then she was thrown at the deep end of the guineas, won at a massive price. Still ran well at Ascot. She's quite closely matched to Opera Singer on that form, who's obviously a short price favourite. And I mean, she's just way less exposed than Opera Singer. So I think at the prices, El Malka, you're going to see a career best, and that should be enough to see her, you know, give the sort of Emily Upjohn and Opera Singer quite a bit to think about. So at the prices, she's a bet to me.
You must have been drinking pints with Paul Keeley, were you?
Yeah, no, Sam, I didn't know. Sam told me that Keel was a sweet on El Malka. I had no idea, but pleased to hear it.
Two of the greatest minds in the game agreeing.
There we go. Yeah, big price.
And is our boat wrong?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to talk about some of the favourites for some of the big races towards the end of this show, and we'll come to DJ and some of the Irish runners. But yeah, Al Malka, a big price, 14-1 for the Nassau Stakes on Thursday. Right, who should I go to next? Let's go to David Jennings for number two.
Number two is, I'd like to think that I started a mini gamble a couple of weeks ago. Was it a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, I think it was maybe 10 days ago. I put up Facile Mode for the Galway Hurdle on Thursday, and at 16-1 in the race and post. 2 points each way, Facile Mode, I went a while ago at 16-1. I think 10-1 is the best price now by Facile Mode. It's the 505 at Galway on Thursday. It's a funny Galway Hurdle this year because you've got a load of kind of Willie Mullins trained horses in there, but to me, they've all got points to prove. Like Winter Fog is top weight. And like, if Winter Fog can win a Galway Hurdle off 152, I'm Jesus, because I just can't see it. I really can't see Winter Fog winning this race off that mark. And he's one of the market leaders. Then you got Daddy Longlegs, who produced an almighty embarrassing effort at Tipperary last time for one reason or another. So I can't have him either. I think Nürburgring needs further. Under Control is now the big plunge horse for Nicky Henderson and JP McManus. And you know, Under Control, she's now into, I think, four's best price, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. And then you come to Facile Mode, who somehow has managed to escape with not being risen from a mark of 133 for beating the 160 rate at Galway Plate winner Astrey Meadow last time over hurdles at Punchestown, giving Astrey Meadow the best part of a stone, giving Astrey Meadow £13. Facile Mode absolutely bolted up under Jack Foley that day. And the handicapper said, you know what, we'll leave you on 133, which I think is extraordinary. Gets in here off an absolutely beautiful racing rate of 10-7. He's a horse that has got some cracking back form as well. Like if you go back to Facile Mode's bumper form on his debut at Leopardstown back in 2022, the second that day was Leckie Watson. The fifth that day was King of Kingsfield. And the sixth was Caldwell Potter. So those are the calibre of horses that he was able to beat when he was a young horse in bumpers. He's been playing his trade mainly in Grade 1 novice hurdles in Ireland. And now he's got his confidence back. He was a real eye catcher, I thought, at Ballinrobe when the gaps didn't really open. And then he backed it up by beating Astrey Meadow. Jumped beautifully, travelled beautifully, did everything right. I think he's chucked in here off 133. I think he could even go close to going off favourite or near enough favourite. So if you're still getting 10-1, I still think it's a bit of value. Facile Mode for me in the Galway Hurdle, the 505 at Galway on Thursday.
There we go. Yeah, I always look forward to the plate and the hurdle. You can kind of watch the Galway plate. You can watch straight after racing at Goodwood and you can catch the Galway hurdle on the big screen, which is always a cracking race and a big gamble on the Nicky Henderson runner in that race. Like DJ said, Under Control, now around 4-1, but Facile Mode around 10-12-1 for David Jennings. Ed Nixon, your number two, please.
Number two in the Gordon Stakes, we mentioned before, Jan Brugel. Unbeaten 3-year-old has a St. Ledger as his target. I think he's 7-1 for the St. Ledger. Aidan O'Brien trains. I just thought he just has a profile of a horse that's progressing won a Group 3 last time. In not massively eye-catching style, but he's a big horse. That's the worry, Goodwood. Maybe the track won't suit, but I don't know. 1 mile four, he looks a monster. And I just thought he was one of those horses that we have in these top fives where I just say we'll win. Probably the wrong price. You'd probably think you should be getting a bit more based on what he's done so far. But, yeah, I just think he wins.
Yeah, his reputation is huge. He's going to take all the beating. It might not be the strongest Gordon Stakes ever either. My number two is going to come on Wednesday in the 225, the Oak Tree Stakes. I'm going to go with Jabara. Huge fan of this Roger Varian filly who ran second to Porta Fortuna in the Falmouth Stakes at the July meeting. She ran a huge race that day, and this three-year-old has still got plenty more to offer, I'm sure of that. She's dropping into a weak enough Group 3 over 7 furlongs, which is a trip she's won over twice already this season in listed contests. Now, the form took a slight boost actually yesterday with Rogue Millennium, who's behind Jabara in the Falmouth, running best of the British and Irish in the pre-Rothschild over at Deauville. She's a fast-improving horse. I don't think we've actually seen anywhere near the best of her yet. I think she could end up to be a Group 1 horse. Her RPR and the Falmouth suggest she could be, you know, tough to stop here. And James Dawes booked up for Varian, who's just in fine form at the moment. That's going to do for me. So Jabara in the 225 on Wednesday, the Oak Tree Stakes. Now, before we get our best bet, one of the highlights of the week is going to be the Sussex Stakes. And Rosalian's going to be topping the market there. And a couple of weeks back, Ed Nicholson went along to chat to the work rider and former Grand National winning jockey, Timmy Murphy. Let's hear what he had to say.
So we're here at Richard Hannon Stable. This is Rosalian, and plenty of you will know this face as well. It's Timmy Murphy. Timmy, everyone knows you were a brilliant jumps jockey, over 1,000 winners, 8 Cheltenham Festival winners, a Grand National. But a lot of people won't know that you look after Rosalian in terms of you ride him out every day.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say he's a fairly straightforward horse to ride. My main job is just mind him, because he's a pretty valuable asset to the yard, you know.
And did you ride him from the very get-go as a two-year-old?
Late on when they started to identify the ability he had, and more or less halfway through his two-year-old career.
And what kind of feeling does it give you? I know you've obviously ridden plenty of amazing jumpers, but I remember interviewing you after your final winner at Chepstow back in 2018. So you've ridden some nice flat horses as well. What kind of feeling does it give you as a flat horse? I mean, he's obviously so much quicker, is he? Or does he do things so much more easily?
Well, to be honest, for a flat horse, he's very laid back at home. And I think that's probably one of his assets is, he doesn't overexert himself at home. Everything is just done very easily. He doesn't come alive until he works, you know. And Shawnee usually rides him all his fast work. I just keep him settled and keep him out of trouble.
And when you watch him on the race course, obviously I'd imagine everybody, you know, yearning to watch him when he runs in these big races. Do you get nervous?
Not really. Obviously, you like him to keep winning. And when you're at that level, it's quite difficult to keep winning. But like once he settles in his race, he's got a great turn of foot. And the only worry you'd have is that he doesn't get into trouble in running, you know.
Yeah, and he's not had it easy, really, so far. No, and nearly every race he's had to do it the hard way. Yeah. A question I wanted to ask you, as the man that rides him every day, I've always loved to see him over 6-7 furlongs. I mean, it seems to me to have the speed to be able to win Group 1 races over that distance. Yeah. Would he be that fast, or would he be a horse that's better over further? I mean, the mile is his distance at the moment, but which way could you see him going?
I could see him go either way. He's very versatile. I'd imagine if you'd ride him cold if you went a bit further. But I'd imagine you'd see a devastating turn of pace off that. He's very versatile. He's got loads of gears and just great temperament.
And will you be there at the Sussex Stakes? Will you be watching?
No, I'll be watching on telly. I don't go to see him. I'm a bit superstitious. So I've never gone to see him running, so I'll stay doing what I do and hopefully he does what he does.
And finally, I mean, you've ridden so many great horses, but would he be the best you've sat on, or the fastest?
Probably the best flat horse, yeah. Yeah, definitely. He's just a very nice character, and anyone could ride him, really. It's just, I've been lucky enough to get the job of staying on him.
Great. Timmy, thanks very much.
No problem.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's racing postcast. Our top five bets for Goodwood and Galway. Sam Hart, David James, Robbie Wilders and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. About to give our best bets, but looking at that VT, Ed, it's going to be we've got Timmy Murphy saying he won't be there to see Rosalian Rum because of superstition.
Yeah, a lot of people in racing are superstition, aren't they? And he'll watch it, though. There'll be a big crowd in the stable lad's room, or stable groom's room, I should say. He's a very popular horse down there, as you can expect, not just because he's a win machine, but he's a really sweet horse as well. As you see from the video, he took a liking to my shoulder at one stage, and I was a little bit worried that he might take a bite out of it, but he was just licking it. He's a lovely fella. And what a horse. I mean, Richard Hannon Jr. says he reckons he's the best miler they've ever had at the stable, let alone under his control. He thinks his dad hasn't had a better one, although his dad did get a bit upset about that and was saying that Camford Cliffs is a pretty good horse, you know. So I think if he wins here in a good style, I think that that bold statement might be coming true. He is an amazing horse, and he can do it anyway. I mean, there's some people thinking he'll make it a bit easier for himself this time and go nearer the front. I'm really looking forward to the race. Obviously, racing and betting is about taking a punt and winning on a horse. But I also like the tactical side of it. And I'll be interested to see what he does in the Sussex Stakes, because I think he's due a big one. Once he gets everything right in a race, I think Rosalian will win a Group 1 by 3, 4, 5 lengths. And who knows, it could be the Sussex Stakes.
Yeah, I'll have to wait and see. I'm going to come to David Jennings now, because these two gents are taking on Opera Singer in the Nassau. But there's going to be three big favourites in the Group 1s, and a few people are going to be on that treble of Kyprios in the Goodwood Cup, Rosalian in the Sussex, and obviously Opera Singer in the Nassau Stakes. What do we make of that treble, DJ? What do we think of the chances of especially the top three there?
I'd say don't do it. That'd be my advice for that treble. Don't do it. I think you've got Kyprios will win, I think, all right. I think the other two are, you know, Rosalian should win. But the thing I think about the Sussex Stakes is it's going to be tactical again, because you've got Mountain Bear in there who's still in the race, who I presume is just going to be in there as a toe into the race for Henry Longfellow. So you're going to have a replica of what happened at Ascot. So what's going to happen, I'd say, guessing, is that Wayne Lorden will probably ride Mountain Bear, or whoever's going to ride Mountain Bear, we don't know yet. And he's going to try and basically, like, they basically said what they think about Rosalian. They can't wait until he gets a fast run mile that he's going to absolutely show exactly what he's made of. It was the first thing Sean Levy said to me after he won at Royal Ascot. And so they're going to go, right, what's our best chance of winning this race? Saturday was a mess, obviously, in the King George. Our best chance is to kind of pretend that we're going to set a decent pace at Mountain Bear, but we're just going to sit and let Henry Longfellow sit on his shoulder and then kick probably, you know, 2.5 furlongs out with Henry Longfellow. And the thing about it is, Henry Longfellow got first run to Rosalian at Ascot, and Rosalian still beat him. But the one thing I will say is, Henry Longfellow had only had a mess of a race in a French Guinea, so he basically didn't have a race at all. He almost finished on the bridle that day. That sharpness from Ascot is going to bring on Henry Longfellow again. So Sean Levy can't do what he did at Ascot and let kind of Henry Longfellow completely get first run, because he's going to have a different Henry Longfellow to try and catch here, because he's got that run under his belt. So that's what makes it compelling viewing, I think. And then you've got the likes of Notable Speech, who didn't seem to progress from the Guineas to Ascot. Do you give him another chance? I think Rosalian is the best horse in the race. I think he's probably going to win. But I think Henry Longfellow is going to get first run again. And I think with a horse like Henry Longfellow, you can't keep giving him first run.
Yes, there we go. DJ's opinion on that treble there. And that Sussex Stakes is an absolute belter. If they all turn up in this race, it's going to be an absolute cracker. Can't wait to see that on the Wednesday. Right, gents, time to get the best bet for the two meetings. Then who is going to be the best bet? Either at Goodwood or at Galway. I am going to kick things off in the Lily Langtry Stakes, the 3 o'clock on Saturday. And I'm going to go with Kais Corrister. And I hope Clive Washburn's actually watching this. One of the great characters of the game. He owns this filly, who has been a lovely horse for David Menuzier. He's had plenty of good horses actually this season. Possibly one of his best seasons for the level of horses he's had. Some I didn't quite show himself in the King George at the weekend. But he has got some top class horses. But this horse, I think, is made for a Lily Langtry Stakes. She was second to Coltrane on Royal Ascot Trials Day, and Sandown She's second, both over 2 miles. Now, I'm not actually convinced she's an out-and-out stayer. She might be, but I think she's actually got a few gears to burn. I think in the Gold Cup, she just found that 2 mile four a bit too much. But this trip of a mile six could be the ideal race for her. Now, Robbie's already said that he likes free wind in this race, who was second to Blue Stocking at York. And, you know, I don't know whether with free wind, whether she is digressing quite a bit, because since that 2021 season, she was almost unbeatable that year. She hasn't quite looked the same and never really has. Now, I know it was heavy ground last year, but I'd be quite keen to take her on at the top of the market. I actually was at Goodwood on the opening day of the season. Clive Washbourne came on the mics and, you know, a fair character. He said, we're going to go to Ascot and give them a run for their money in the Gold Cup. And then we're going to come back here and we're going to win the Lilly Langtry. And look, the first part of the plan didn't quite work out, but I think part two is just going to be made for this horse. She's got plenty of speed. She's got a little bit of stamina as well. So, look, Stable One is racing 2021 with Wonderful Tonight. I know they know how to get a horse ready for this. I really fancy Kai's Chorister. I can't believe that 5-1. I think this horse has got off much shorter in a race like this. So, Kai's Chorister and the Lilly Langtry Stakes on Saturday at 3 o'clock is going to be my number one. Robbie Wilde is your number one, please.
Yes, mate. Going to a handicap for 10 at Goodwood on Thursday, Doha. She does have an entry in the Nassau Stakes, just shows you how highly regarded she still is. But she's still rated 98. I think she's probably got another handicap in her before she eventually steps up in class again. I mean, she's obviously impressive in the Kensington Palace, pulling well clear with a world handicap filly called Hopeful. She was beaten at a short price at Pontefract, but I thought she was a little bit unlucky that day. I thought she was the horse to take out of it. She conceded first run to Carnarvon. She found herself a little bit poorly positioned, had to be switched. She's only gone up £3 for that. I just think she's like 100% better than 98. You're going to see better from her again over a mile two. I mean, probably the best bred horse in training by See the Stars out of Trev, who won 2 arcs. I think 98, she can win another handicap, but there is a chance they might just go for some Group 1 black type with her in the Nassau, but I think take the hint if they're going to stick in the handicap company. So, yeah, Doha for me.
Just one thing on that, Sam. Robbie, that's Wednesday, that race, not Thursday. I don't know if you want to
change. Oh, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
I should point out that race is Wednesday, not Thursday. Thanks.
So there we go. Yeah, Wednesday at 4:10. Robbie Wilder's Doha in that 1 mile 2 Phillies handicap. You have actually sent me the email, Robbie, with Wednesday on it. So you got that.
Yeah,
right.
I sort of lost where the email was and I was freestyling.
Oh, right. There we go.
One thing I will say about Robbie there, he was very, very exceedingly kind to Hector Crouch there, because I'd say if Hector could have won ride back this season, that Pontefract ride was as bad as I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Great jockey, but not his finest ever.
Yeah. Right, so David Jennings, we're going to get your best bet now. Who's it going to be?
I've thought for quite a while now that one of these days, Emily Upjohn is just going to destroy a Group 1 field. And I have a feeling that's going to be in the Nassau on Thursday in the 3:35. Look, most people want to see horses settle in races and you want to see horses relax and, you know, get into their comfort zone. I'm a little bit different with Emily Upjohn. I think she's at her best when she's enthusiastic and she's kind of keen, although not over keen. But there was just something there in the Pretty Polly which told me the real Emily Upjohn is back. She's back, baby. And she should have won the Pretty Polly. I just thought with Kieran, he didn't really do one thing or the other in at the Curragh. He didn't kind of kick or he didn't sit. It was kind of like, oh, she's took me to the front. Oh, I better go now. And then he ended up going too early. I almost wish he should have maybe started to stretch them before the home turn or else just sit and wait and then go maybe a furlong and a half out. But he had a big marker on his back for Blue Stocking to catch in the Pretty Polly. And look, it was a huge effort, win, lose or draw. Even though I think she could even be better than she showed at the Curragh, I thought it was a huge effort. And for her to be supplemented at a race where they had Inspiral already, I think speaks volumes. She's given weight to Opera Singer, and I know she has to give £7, but I think a mile two at Goodwood is absolutely made for Emily Upjohn. And I just have it in my head that someday she's going to absolutely tank herself into a race and she's just going to explode. And I just have it in my head that it's going to be Thursday. Opera Singer looks to be crying out for a mile and two, and she ran really well in the Coronation Stakes. Robbie makes a good point about Amalka. But to me, on her day, Emily Upjohn is one of the best fillies we've seen in the last couple of seasons. She hasn't won for a while, and she's a little bit of an enigma, but I think it's just been a gradual process with her. You see her from Maidan to the Coronation Cup to her run at the Curra. It's all been a gradual step up. And I just think she's waiting to do, I'll try and keep it in shot, that. I think she's waiting to get to that level. I think we're going to see it on Thursday. I think she could destroy these. So I'm with Emily Upjohn, like Ed.
There we go. Oh, Emily Upjohn then in the Nassau Stakes with David Jennings. Ed Nixon, you're the last one to give us your best bet for the meeting.
Yeah, best bet of the meeting is a back of the net job. I'm backing the striking Viking to do it again, as he's named after Erling Haaland. Changed stables and ownership since the last time we saw him. What a piece of business. He was bought for 65,000 guineas by Tim Palin and Midland Park. I don't know what he went for with Rathman. I don't think anyone does, unless somebody around the table can tell me. But I bet you it was a little bit more than 65,000
65 million.
It was a lot of money, yeah. but he was, I mean, he won at York in the style of a very good horse. Now, lots of horses win at York in the style of a very good horse. It's a flat five. If you've got a horse that's just got more ability than another in a maiden, just put them to the front. As long as they don't pull, they're going to look impressive. But I do some speed ratings, and that speed rating at York was phenomenal. It was one of the best over the last 20 years. First time out. So a first-time-out two-year-old put up a really good speed rating. Second time up was over in Ireland that GJ will know more about me. But the Railway Stakes is always a good race at the Curra over six furlongs. For memory serves, Aidan O'Brien's been farming that race over the years, and he won it again with Henry Matisse. But if you look at the replay again, the Striking Viking just travels through the race like the best horse. And then I think he's still, obviously, it's going to sound silly because he's only had two runs, but was very inexperienced and kind of ran on again when Henry Matisse got upsides. I think that race may have really helped the development of Striking Viking. It's a Group 2 like the race, the Railway Stakes in the Curra. I love this horse, and I think he's a Group 1 horse. He will run and hopefully win Group 1 races this year, but I think on the step on the ladder to that Group 1, he'll take this Group 2 Richmond Stakes and is available around about 6-5. Just love the look of the horse, love the attitude, and he's got so much raw talent. No wonder Wethnam paid £65 million for him. Joking. But, he is a great horse, isn't he? But Wethnam, they've just got these deep pockets, almost as deep as DJ's. They just keep spending money on these two-year-olds, and hopefully they've got a good one this time.
There you go, then. So, yeah, the Striking Viking there in the Richmond Stakes is number one for Mr. Ed Nicholson. We're going to run through our 5-1 just a second. Before then, just get the offers for the week. Ed, just what could be coming up this week?
Well, I mean, this is the biggest week for us in terms of offers. Even outdoes Royal Ascot and probably on a par with the Cheltenham Festival. So I'll just read some of the traders have been sending them to me all throughout this podcast because they're doing them as we speak. But every day we'll have our industry top price race where we will be industry top price from 9 a.m. on one race of the day. We'll also be the money back second and third on one of the ITV races. We've got extra place races, price boosts, super boosts. We've got all those can be found, by the way, on the site under unibet.co.uk/enclosure. So they're all on there. So there are plenty. So I would go to that page if I was you. But we've got some extra specials. We've got top jockey for the meeting. Ryan Moore is a 4-7. William Buick, 7-2. Top trainer, Aidan O'Brien, is 4-6, for example. Charlie Appleby, 11-4. We've also done, because they're related contingencies, we've done a special to be top trainer, top jockey. 6-4, bit of 6-4, Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. No, I thought that was quite good.
Well, what price is James Doyle, just quickly, on that top jockey?
Ryan Moore.
James Doyle.
I haven't got him in front of me. Go to the site.
Okay, I'll have a look. Yeah, I'm going to have a look.
Go to the site.
So, Ed, say that again. If what price is Aidan O'Brien to be top trainer?
4-6.
Well, if any of your customers back Aidan O'Brien at 4-6, instead of doing the double with Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore at 6-4, because it's not like Ascot where he's going to have two and three runners in races. He's really going to have one main horse in most of the races. So I think it's 1,000,000 to 1 for Aidan O'Brien to be top trainer and for Ryan Moore not to be top jockey, I'd imagine.
That's a good piece of advice. Yeah, 6-4 you can get. We've got total aggregate favourites, total aggregate distances. We've got 5 match bets per race. We've got, for example, 19 match bets on day one. So one horse to beat another. And we've got trainer specials. Tuesday's jockey specials were already priced up. We've got, I think, 12 different jockeys. How many winners will they ride each day? So, I mean, we have got so many offers on Goodwood this week. Go to the website, the best place to go, unibet.co.uk/enclosure, with all the offers. And we have an advert every day, Sam, in the Racing Post. So we'll be promoting those as well.
There we go. Absolutely. And it's a good time for me to actually plug the big kickoff video for the Racing Post, which is going to be sponsored by Unibet. Really looking forward to this. August the 5th, we'll be having our video out at 6 p.m. Dave Clark, James Milton, Mark Langdon and Nick Goff will be on to take us through the football season, all the big English leagues that have top goal scorers, relegation markets, Premier League winner. It'll also cover some of the international leagues as well. Really great show every year, sponsored by Unibet. August the 5th, 6 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel. You don't want to miss that. So plenty going on. I actually looked there. James Doyle is 10-1 to be top jockey. I don't mind that at all for Glorious Goodwood. I think you could have a good meeting. So there we go. Right, we're going to go through 5-1 nice and quickly. I'll kick things off, show you how it's done. Wednesday, 5:20, the Whirlpool Handicap at Goodwood. I'm going to go Darkness. Friday, 3:35, King George Qatar Stakes, Asphora. Thursday, 3 o'clock, the Lennox Stakes, Kinross. Wednesday, 2:25, the Oak Tree Stakes, Jabara. And the best bet will be Saturday, 3 o'clock, in the Lily Langtree Stakes, Kais Corrister for me. And there they are on screen as we are talking. Going to Robbie Wilder's next. Your top five, please, sir.
Thanks a lot, mate. I found the email now. Number five, Yambra Guel, Glorious Stakes, 3 o'clock Thursday. Number four, Free Wind, Lily Langtree Stakes, 3 o'clock Saturday. Number three, Tiber Flow, Lennox Stakes, 3 o'clock Tuesday. Number two, El Malka, Nassau Stakes, 3:35 Thursday. And number one, Doha, 4:10 Wednesday, 1-2 Phillies Handicap.
There we go. And there's Robbie's best bets for Glorious Goodwood. Ed Nicholson to you then, your top five, please.
Yeah, back end of the week for me, but at number five, Jasaw in the King George Qatar Stakes. That's on the Friday. Number four is Blue For You in the Golden Mile. That's on the Thursday. Number three, Emily Upjohn in the Nassau Stakes, again on the Thursday. Jan Brugel is number two on Thursday in the Gordon Stakes. And finally, number one, the Striking Viking in the Richmond Stakes, again on Thursday.
There we go. So there's Ed Nixon's top fives and David Jennings in the mix in that little bit of Galway for us. What are your top five bets, DJ?
In five, it's Carados, 4:45 Goodwood Tuesday. In four, Naturally Nimble getting off the mark early, hopefully in 7:45 at Galway on Monday. In three, it's Palace Green in the 1:50 at Goodwood on Thursday. And my top three are all Thursday because number two is Facile Mode in the 5:05 at Galway on Thursday at the Galway Hurdle. And numero uno, number one, is Emily Upjohn. I have a feeling she will destroy them in the Nassau Stakes at 3:35 at Goodwood on Thursday.
Perfect. There we go. So our top five bets for the two meetings, mainly us, myself, Robbie and Ed, covering Goodwood, but DJ throwing that little bit of Galway in there for us as
well. Here we go, Ed. I'm going to ask you a question now, Ed Nicholson, being from our sponsors, Unibet, okay? What's the over and under? So we have 20 horses there, okay? 5 fours is 20. What's the over and unders? We go 10 to 11 each of two. Over what winners? I would say 3.5, 4.5.
Well, going on the record I've been on the podcast, the panel's done quite well. I think we've averaged about 7 or 8, haven't we, or something like that.
Really? So,
okay, yeah. Can we just say that for the Royal Ascot top five bets video, Graham Robway had a 16-1 winner, 6-1 winner, and 7-2 winner out of his top five.
Get him on here.
Yeah, he's on holiday in Canada at the moment, I believe. So, but yeah, Ed's been in fine form as well. So hopefully we'll have plenty of winners, I'm sure. Of that, we'll be counting them, DJ, and next time we're on, we'll be looking back on them, hopefully. So there we go. Right, big thanks to my panel as always, David Jennings, Robbie Wilders, and Unibet's Ed Nixon. Let us know down in the comments who your top five bets are for the two meetings. Intrigued to see those in the YouTube comments. Do let us know. Do like, share, and subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel. Remember to gamble responsibly. It's a big week ahead. The MO here at the Racing Post and at Unibet is only gamble with money you can afford to lose. So yeah, do that. And we will see you again, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. We'll do a little bit of a Glorious Goodwood review as well as a weekend preview. So look forward to that. But thanks for watching and enjoy the week.